pleasure of meeting Brother Dave Ferris many years ago down at Windsor Hills Baptist Church in the college there under Brother Vineyard's leadership. He was a student then and stayed in and graduated and hit the trail on deputation. God gave him a good wife and a successful ministry over in Philippines, and had to come home and then had cancer. He'll tell you all about it tonight. I'm giving him the service, and I just felt impressed to do that because here's a man that was on the field for almost 10 years over there, and so I want you to hear tonight. It's been that long, 99 till 2013. That's a long time since Brother Ferris has been with us, so we're looking forward tonight. Faith, you come sing, and after that, we'll give our undivided attention to Brother Dave Ferris tonight into the Philippines.
I measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could begin. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down the pointless road to nowhere with my praise expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran the course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down the pointless road to nowhere with my salvation.
Good to be back here, and I appreciate this opportunity to see you all once again. And it has been a long time, and a lot of water under the bridge that we were talking about earlier. And but God has been so good, and our church in the Philippines is doing well. My family and I, we left there in for the Philippines in January of 2003, and then we had a tutor come to our house, and we learned the language of Cebuano, And shortly after that, we started Lighthouse Baptist Church in the city of Terrell. Church is doing well. I'm very proud of them. Matter of fact, your church gave a special offering, I believe, to help us with our building. And so we were able to get land and build a building. And they're 100% self-supporting. And the church actually started doing better after I left. And that was a blessing. Amen. And more people started getting saved. So that tells you something. And the pastor there, his name is Brother Gospel. Good name for a preacher, isn't it? His brother, he had a brother named brother named Genesis. But he made an exodus and doesn't go to church anymore. But Gospel is just doing a phenomenal job. He has really grown in the Lord. I'm proud of him. They had a Muslim family saved a couple months ago. 6 out of the 7 saved. They're still praying for the dad, but the dad said they can get baptized if they would like to. And so the mom and all the kids are coming, and they had their vacation Bible school, and they averaged 150 during the week for vacation Bible school, and they're supporting Faith Promise missions, and they're just doing very, very well. So I appreciate the support that you gave to us for over 12 years. You guys never missed a month. You're always faithful, and you don't know how much that really helps us out. I mean, you know, on mission field, we had 3 kids, and you know, that cost money, and your church helped to pay for all that. So thank you. I appreciate it. And you know, in your prayers and for our safety. And so I just want to take the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you for the hotel room that you provided tonight, and I enjoyed going out with preacher, and I've laughed almost the whole time since I've been here. And, it's been a blessing. And, so I pray that you'll pray for us as we continue to re-raise our support. You know, during the time of turning the church over to Brother Gospel and the Nationals, we were scheduled to go to the island of Negros and start a new ministry there. And I was reading in Ezra this morning how the Spirit of God stirred up the Persian king to give of his treasury for the house of God. And, you know, it's kind of what God did to us. He stirred our heart that we needed to go home and not go to Dumaguete City where we had been planning on going. And not a lot of that didn't make much sense to us at the time. But I prayed about it, and we talked to our home pastor about it. And it seems like the more we prayed, the more God says, you just need to go home. And you know, that was kind of disappointing. I wanted to continue on in ministry in the Philippines. And so we made plans to go ahead and go back to the States. And I'm going to, you know, not tell you the whole story tonight, but we were scheduled to go help a church as a co-pastor. And after making plans and flying home 10,000 miles with our 3 kids, everything just kind of blew up in our face. You ever have that happen? Things just don't go according to your plan. And, you know, honestly, it got to the place where I was scratching my head wondering, have I made a mistake here? Have I missed God on what I thought He told us that He wanted us to do? And so we begin to, you know, search and try to figure out, you know, why God had us home, what was going on. And the answers just weren't coming. And, you know, God gave me a job, and I was driving a plumbing truck. And I told Pastor, I can remember one day in particular, I'm driving in Seattle, and I've got a load of toilets in the back of my truck. And I'm thinking, and I'm crying. And God, this is not what I envisioned my life to be, delivering toilets. I mean, I know we need them, but aren't there other people that can deliver these? Amen. I mean, 6 months ago, I'm preaching in the Philippines. Now I'm delivering toilets. And I was depressed. I'll be honest with you. And just, God, why are we going through this? What is your plan for our lives? In the meantime, I was driving my wife crazy. Absolutely crazy. I would see, you know, Filipinos, and I would stop the car and roll down my window and say, hey, are you from the Philippines? And they would say, no, we're from Indonesia. And I'm like, oh, you know, my wife's like just embarrassed. And we'd be at Walmart, and we'd be on the pharmacy side of Walmart, and I would spy Filipinos on the grocery side of Walmart. And my wife said, kids, your dad's going to be a while. And I'd go and, you know, and talk to them. And on my lunch breaks, I found myself, there's a Philippine store, and I'd go there on my lunch break. I didn't need anything, but I would just want to hang out with the rice and the soy sauce because I felt like I was at home. And, you know, I'm just like, what is going on here? And so I counseled with some of my pastor friends, and they're like, Brother Dave, the Philippines is all you know, and that's why you feel this, you know, pull and this desire to be back there. And I'm like, man, I'm hanging around with rice. There's something more to that than, you know, than what they're saying. And so I talking to my home pastor, and I said, you're going to think I'm crazy. I said, but I think that God wants us to go back to the field. And the church that we're supposed to help, there was a doctrinal disagreement when we got there. And the pastor of that church had asked me a question. And he goes, you know, God knew that I had changed, even though you didn't know. And he said, why would God bring you home 10,000 miles just to turn around, have you leave? And then the question that I had in my mind, why would God bring me home 10,000 miles just to turn around and send me back to the Philippines? I mean, really, humanly thinking and speaking, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So my pastor was very gracious, and he said, Dave, let's just take some time to pray about this. And so we begin to pray about it. And honestly, church, I was scared to make the decision to go back because it looks bad to churches and to pastors. It looks like you can't make up your mind what God wants you to do, and I understand that, and, you know, and there's a certain amount of embarrassment. But the more I prayed, I just got to the place where, number one, if I didn't have the answer why God brought us home 10,000 miles, I got to the place I was okay with that. And the more I prayed, it just seemed like, you know, this, if I was wrong and I made a mistake, if I figure out maybe I was wrong, I'd be willing to admit I made a mistake and we're going back. I got to the place I was ready to do that also. And as far as the egg on the face, I don't care. If God wants us to go, we are going to be where God wants us, period. Well, we made that decision in April of last year to go ahead and go back. And, you know, I had put on a bunch of weight since we'd been home. Just an unusual amount of weight. And, you know, I'm wired. I go to bed 10 o'clock at night, and I'm up at 3 or 4 in the morning. Not because I have character, just because I think it's time to go fishing with Brother Vineyard, you know. And I just, you know, but things had changed. Man, I was getting home from work at 5, and I was in bed at 6 and sleeping to 6 o'clock the next morning and just tired all the time. And I thought, you know, maybe with all the weight gain, my triglycerides must be out of whack. My cholesterol must be sky high, blood pressure. So the job that I had delivering plumbing supplies had offered me some insurance that I didn't have before. Our support had dropped, and we ended up losing our health insurance because we just couldn't simply afford it on the field. And so I figured, you know, we're going to go back on the road. So maybe it would be good to get these things checked before I lose my health insurance. So I made an appointment with a doctor, and all the blood work checked out fine, and the cholesterol was a little bit high, but not too out of normal. And but leading up to my appointment with the doctor, I'd had a cold, and I started rubbing my neck. I had a sore throat, and I felt a lump on my neck. And I remember feeling that, and I switched over here to see if there was another one, and I'm like, man, I'm 40 years old. I don't ever remember having that, you know. And then, you know, it kind of gets in your mind. I wonder what it could be. And so anyways, the appointment came to see the doctor. And at the end of the appointment, he said, you know, is there anything else I can do for you? And you know how us fellows are. If, you know, we ignore it long enough, maybe it'll go away. And I was thinking about that lump. And I told preacher earlier, it was like the Holy Spirit of God said, tell him about your bump. And I said, I got a bump. And I remember he put his thumb on it and he closed his eyes and started rubbing it. And at that point, I was really wishing I hadn't told him about the bump, you know. I'm like, this is a little weird to me. And he said, you know, we need to get a CAT scan on that. He goes, it's probably just a cyst. And so they did a CAT scan, and 2 days later he called me. He goes, Dave, this is a solid mass in your neck, and we need to do a needle biopsy, which came back inconclusive. And so 2 weeks later, they opened my neck up and I had a tumor pop out, he said, the size of a sausage. And I come to find out I had 3 tumors in my neck and a tumor behind my heart. And so they diagnosed me with Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 2, going to stage 3. And it was kind of funny. I'm in the oncologist's office and we're talking, you know, about us being missionaries and everything. And she made the statement. She said, you know, if you had stayed in the Philippines, she goes, you would have been dead in a year. And I begin to think about how good God was to us to lead us back, even though I didn't understand. And, you know, I learned something. I knew it in my mind, but I learned it personally through that dark time in our lives that God, not just cliche, but God really does care for us. Amen. I want you to turn to your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts. That's where I'll draw my message tonight. The book of Acts. I'm just kidding. Turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 142. I just heard that you finished a mini-series out of the book of Acts. So, we won't subject you to that tonight. Amen. Psalms chapter 142. You know, in homiletics, they teach you not to do this because it usually blows up in your face, so this still may. But I'm going to try to dovetail 2 messages together tonight and hope it'll be a blessing to you. In Psalms chapter 142, the Bible says there, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Let me remind you, this is written by David. He has been anointed to be king over Israel, but he's running from King Saul, running for his life. He's hiding in this cave while he's writing this. And I like what David does. He just took his complaint and he took his trouble and he poured it out before God and said, God, here it is. And tonight, can I tell you, if you have trouble, if you have a complaint, you don't need to take it to Dr. Phil. You don't need to take it to Oprah. You don't need to take it to a bottle or to a pill. You need to give that complaint to God, because we have a God tonight that wants to hear it. We have a God that really does care. David said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. I know how David felt. I remember after getting the news of the kind of cancer, it took me a few days just to kind of assimilate the information. You know, I thought I was bulletproof. Wasn't ever going to get anything like that. Everything was just fine. You know, that's for somebody else. That won't happen to me. And then I remember thinking, man, I've lost my health. You know, we had health insurance from that job, praise the Lord. But I'm like, man, I've lost my life insurance. And Diane and the kids, they had to go shopping somewhere. And I remember in the shower, I just broke down and I started sobbing. Thinking, dear God, what about my family? What about, you know, and start asking God those questions. Why, God? You know, I mean, how is this going to work? And I was overwhelmed. You ever been that way in your spirit? Well, you know, God gave me a thought. This is really profound. I'm just waiting for somebody to give me a doctorate because this is such a profound thought. But the thought the Lord gave me to that day in the shower was this. It was, Dave, you're going to live, or you're going to die. Isn't that deep? You're going to live, or you're going to die. But what I thought is, I've got a wife, and I got 3 little boys, or 3 kids that are going to watch. I was thinking about my brother's kids. They're going to watch how I either live or how I die. And I've messed a lot of things up in my life. And I said, dear God, whatever the outcome is, I don't want to mess this up. And if I go through this grumbling and complaining and why, I'm going to set my kids up for a future of asking God, why. Not seeing their dad trust God with grace and love. And I said, God, I don't want to mess this up. And when your spirit is overwhelmed, we need to remember God really does care. Are you with me? David said here, I have looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Now, that wasn't exactly true. David had some mighty men that cared for him. Amen. David had some people that were behind him and for him, and a family that loved him. And I really believe that David maybe started getting a little bit bitter about having to run for King Saul. And bitterness, man, will come into our lives when things are going on that we think that's not fair, this shouldn't be happening. And bitterness will cause us to forget in our lives that God really does care. Are you with me? You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11, I'm sure your church is much like my home church, and during the time of the Lord's table, we're given an opportunity for self-examination. You know, before we eat of that bread and drink of that cup, we're given a chance to make things right with the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of this in the past. When it come time for the Lord's table and the self-examination, I would just do maybe blood work. Just a general exam. You know what I mean? I've learned through this cancer thing, there's all kinds of different. There's some deep exams like the MRI and the PET scan, things like that. Are you with me? But oftentimes we don't want to give ourselves that MRI or that PET scan because there's things down there that we're not willing to let go of, that we want to hold on to, bitterness being one of them. Are you with me? And bitterness is just like a cancer. Man, if it goes undetected and is let to grow, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that it'll take root and it'll spring up from what seems no matter where. And many of God's people are defiled because of this sin of bitterness. Are you with me tonight? And this is one of those things that we really need to watch out for in our lives when things come that we don't think is fair. And I was scared at the time finding out I had cancer. God, I don't want to slip back into my ways of bitterness towards you and towards people. Are you with me? You know, in 1990, I remember I enrolled in Oklahoma Baptist College as a freshman. My freshman year was the best 3 years of my life. Amen. But from 90 to 94, I was expelled from the college on three separate occasions. You know, I was from New York, and when I arrived at OBC, I arrived mouth first. Can anybody relate to that, you know? Those Okies didn't know how to process all of that, and wound up getting in a lot of trouble. But, see, what had happened was, my dad had gotten saved in 1979. A guy at work gave him a tract, John R. Rice, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Dad read that tract and got saved. Yeah, he was discipled, got in the church, began to grow. As a result, the whole family got saved. And in so many churches, you know, there are splits. And that was the case in our church. And there was a split, and my dad started to get bitter about the things that were going on in the church. And he started, first thing that went was the soul winning. Next thing that started missing were Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And before you know it, the whole family was out of church. And then the old habits started coming back that he had before he got saved. The drinking, the drugs, the beatings of the family. Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about tonight? So when I arrived at college, I arrived really messed up. I was angry at God. I was angry at my dad. I was angry at my pastor for sending me to Oklahoma. I was an angry young man. And I was bitter about what had happened in my life. Now, let me give you the definition of bitterness very quickly. Bitterness is an enmity. It's a grudge. It's a hatred. It's a keenness of reproach. It's a biting sarcasm. It's a keen sorrow. Bitterness is a deep distress of one's mind. And as I travel this country, I see a lot of God's people, and they are bitter about things that are going on in their lives, and they are distressed in their minds. Are you with me? And as you study this thing of bitterness, you're going to see that bitterness affects us on different levels. We are, you know, a trichotomy. That's a big word for we're made in the image of God. We're spirit, we're soul, we're body. And we'll see that bitterness affects us on each one of those levels. You know, the spirit, that's our relationship that we have with God. You know, we are dead in the trespasses of sin. But when we get saved, that spirit is made alive. Amen. And that allows us to fellowship with God. And bitterness, we'll see in a moment, definitely affects us on that level. Bitterness will manifest itself in our flesh. I mean, you know, Job talks about having a biting sarcasm. You know, there's sarcasm that you can have for fun, but then there's that biting sarcasm. That sarcasm, you're turning a knife a little bit, you know, and it's meant to hurt. Mark it down, you're dealing with bitterness, and it's coming out in your flesh. And then bitterness on a soul level, what's that? That's our relationships that we have with each other. And it's no wonder today that in our churches that sometimes members are disenfranchised with each other. There's problems with mom and dad and children in the homes. Why? Because bitterness has been allowed to go in there. We haven't examined it like we should. And it's grown and it's grown. And all of a sudden it jumps up and we find that we have a big problem on our hands because this thing of bitterness was not dealt with. Turn, if you would, to the book of Job very quickly. Job has a lot to say about this thing of bitterness. Job chapter number 10. And look in verse number 1. Now, I'm not picking on Brother Job tonight. If anybody had a right in the Bible to be bitter, let's give Job first place on that list. Are you with me? Job went through a lot. But look what Job says in Job chapter 10 in verse number 1. He says there, "My soul is weary of my life." He says, "I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my" what? In my soul. Remember what happened to Job? His wife, who said for better, for worse, for richer or poor, that same woman that he loved and took on dates and all those nice things. Now she's telling him, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" His friends that were supposed to be behind him, you know, they were saying things like, "Job, what must have you done to bring you to the judgment of God upon your life?" And Job was at the place where his spirit was overwhelmed. And so much had happened, he was tired of living. He said, "I'm weary of this life." And folks, can I ask you a question tonight? If you're weary of life, how effective do you think you're going to be for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, God didn't design this Christian life for us to be weary of it and wanting to check out. But you mark it down, when bitterness is left out and undealt with in your heart and in your soul, you're going to get to the place where "I've had enough, I'm weary of this," and you'll be rendered ineffective for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ because of this thing of bitterness. Job's got a lot more to say about bitterness. So we see bitterness affects us on a soul level, our relationships. Man, when I was in college, I wasn't getting along with Brother Vineyard. I wasn't getting along with the staff. I wasn't getting along with my mother. I wasn't even getting along with anybody. I wasn't getting along with myself. Why? Because of bitterness. Turn, if you would, to Job chapter number 9. Job chapter number 9. Remember, when we have bitterness like this, we forget that God really cares about us. In bitterness, we start looking inwards and we're focused on ourselves. Are you with me? Look what Job says here in Job chapter number 9, verse 14. This is, I know Job didn't sin with his lips or charge God foolishly, but man, he says some pretty amazing things here in chapter 9. Verse 14, it says, "How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom though I were righteous, yet I would not answer, but would make supplication to my judge." Verse 16, watch this. He said, "If I had called and he had answered me, yet I would not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice." This is what Job is saying of God. He's saying, "God, if I pray to you and you happen to answer me, I'm at the place I'm no longer going to believe it's you that answered my prayer." Good place or bad place to be with God? It's a bad place. See, Job's spirit now is being affected by the sin of bitterness. His relationship with God. Look what else Job says here. Job says this in verse 17, "For he breaketh me with a tempest, and he multiplieth my wounds without a cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with" what? With bitterness. This is what Job's saying. Job's saying, God, you have wounded me without a cause. God, you have filled me with bitterness. See, this is what bitterness does in the life of a Christian. Bitterness, if it is left undealt with, will cause you to blame God for what's happening in your lives. Or what has happened. Are you with me? You know, God is not some old man in a rocking chair up in heaven who wakes up every morning with a stick that wants to hit us in the head. That's not God. You know, man, getting married was awesome. I love my wife dearly. And outside of that, the best thing that's happened to me are my kids. Man, every one of them, I just enjoyed so much having them. I wish we could have more. I love the babies. And my wife's like, yeah, you don't have to take care of them. You know, I think we're done. But I just love it. And You know, there's times in their lives where it's time to discipline those children. But you know, I find myself looking for avenues of grace and avenues of mercy. Amen? I don't wake up and say, okay, Diane, what can I beat them for today? I don't do that. Why? Why don't I do that? Somebody help me. I love them. Amen? And God, His love for His children can't even compare to the love that I have for mine. And God doesn't wake up in the morning and say, man, I'm going to fill so-and-so with bitterness today. I'm going to really get him good. That's not God. So listen to me tonight. If we're bitter about something that has happened in our lives, we are bitter because we chose to be bitter. Bitterness is a choice. You say, I don't agree with that. Well, God tells us in a little bit, we'll see, that there's something we can do about bitterness. So if there's something that we can do, the logical conclusion to me is that bitterness must be a choice. We choose to be bitter. You say, but Brother Dave, you don't understand the hurt and the pain that I've gone through. You know, you're right. There are things that have happened in people's lives, and unless I could experience it myself, there's no way that I or pastor or maybe somebody else could ever understand how bad those things hurt. And I'm not saying those wounds aren't legitimate, and I'm not saying those wounds aren't deep, but I am saying that bitterness about what has happened or is happening is a choice that we make. We choose to be bitter. I remember after being booted the third time, I went back to New York, and you know, sin really messes you up. Who was I bitter at mainly? Remember? My dad. So I go back to New York, and who do I move in with? My dad. Makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? And for me, things went from very bad to very worse. And I was like Job in chapter 10, verse number 1. My soul was weary of my life. See, what the devil was doing, he was using bitterness little by little to move me off of God's chessboard. Amen? And I remember getting to the place as a young man where I said, I don't want to live anymore. I'm done. I'm through. I'm tired of this. I just can't live for God. I'm tired of God jerking me around like this. I am done. I'm through. I remember walking up in my dad's room and the intention was to end my life. And I'm telling you folks, at that moment, there was a knock at my door. And I went downstairs, and there was a staff member from Windsor Hills Baptist Church by the name of Jeff Smith. that God had sent to New York to start a military mission. And on that day, God told him, you got to go see Dave Ferris. And I remember opening the door and seeing him, and I started to cry. I knew God was giving me another chance to make things right. And that brother, he wasn't judgmental, didn't condone the sin, but he said, brother, I love you. And he nursed me back to a walk with the Lord. But it almost ended in a bedroom years ago because of undealt bitterness in my life. What are you bitter about tonight? If you did a deep scan of yourself, you examined yourself, are you holding on to anything at all? Maybe it's that spouse that let you down. Maybe it's another church that hurt you. Maybe it's somebody that hurt you as a child. I don't know what it could be tonight. But whatever that bitterness is, there's something that God wants us to do about it. Turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. The Bible says there in verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, God's first command concerning this thing of bitterness is this. We need to learn to call it what it is. You know, we got code names today, don't we, for things like bitter. I was hurt, or I had an incident happen years ago and it's causing me trauma today. No, the fact is we're bitter about what has happened. The Bible says in the book of James, you can just listen if you want to or turn there, chapter 3, verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. You know, you think about that lump I found in my neck. If that lump had been allowed to grow, and I didn't say anything about it, eventually that would have spread to the other lymph nodes in my system. And then the way this disease works, it eventually would attach itself to an organ. And then it might be too late. Are you with me? Bitterness is the same way. We just sweep it, because, you know, I could never forgive him. I could never let that go. God says if it's there, you need to admit to it. How can you cure a problem unless you admit you have one? Amen? And folks, we all have had things in our life where we think, man, that's not fair. I don't understand. Why this? How could this happen? Why was this allowed? Why? We all have these things that we hold on to. And God says we need to admit that it's there so we can get rid of it. Are you with me? And failure to admit it lets it grow, and you're running the risk of destroying your life. And not only your life, but the life of your kids and your wife and those that love you. Are you with me? It goes beyond hurting yourself. God's second command concerning this. And turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. Look down at about verse 31. The Bible says there, let all bitterness. Now, you know, I'm not too smart. So help me out. That word all, what does that mean? It means all, doesn't it? That boy that cut your pigtails in the third grade, would that be under all? Huh? Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Whatever it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Folks, if this is my bitterness, God, number one, he wants me to admit that it's there. Are you with me? See, when I'm carrying this around and it's growing inside of my system, I'm forgetting how good God really is. Amen? And what God does is God gives. God gives, and we're bitter, and we enjoy we take what he gives us, and we don't give it out. And we don't give it out, and we don't get it out, and we're not made just to take. We're made to take and to give. Amen? But bitterness, we forget all about that. So this is my bitterness. God wants me to admit that it's there. And then God tells me I need to take it and I need to put it away. How much? 80%? 95%? Hey, they don't declare you cancer-free until it's 100% gone. And it's the same thing with bitterness. I don't know what may have happened in your life or what you've struggled with, but God wants you to take every bit of that and put it away. And I understand that that wound may be deep and it hurts really bad, and it may be something that you have to decide, I've got to put it away every day or several times a day. But folks, mark it down. When you start putting it down, and then you start putting it down, time will pass. You'll think, my goodness, I haven't put that away for a week. Amen? And you'll find that God has given you the victory over that bitterness that's been plaguing you your whole life. My dad, let me tell you the rest of the story. You know why I was so miserable when I moved in with him? Dad had gone back to his, now he'd remarried, but he went back to his home church and stood in front of the church and said, I am sorry, I've sinned. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Man, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Man, I was just living for the devil and wanting my own way and just full of that bitterness. I'd get up in the morning, he'd be downstairs reading his Bible, and it made me mad. You understand? And what I learned after Brother Smith helped me, I learned, you know, he takes sin. God forgives our sins, doesn't he? Isn't there something in the Bible? He separates them as far as the east is from the west. Amen? That he buries them in the deepest sea and he remembers them no more. What dawned on me is I was holding things over my father's head that God couldn't even remember. The next verse is, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Because of bitterness. So, Brother Dave, my situation is different. Because they haven't asked forgiveness. That's why God put that little word all in there. Whether they ask or not, God wants us to take our bitterness, admit that it's there, and put it down. Amen? Folks, I know things have happened that hurt, but we've got to remember He really cares about us. And when we go through these trials and these situations, we need to remember He really cares. Let me tell you one story and I'll give it to Pastor. You know, we have extension class ministries in the Philippines. That's basically a Bible study for kids on Saturday. I love it. And we have several villages that we had those in. And there was one village in particular, my favorite village to go to. It was called the Village of Lawis. And the Village of Lawis is on a white sandy beach. And they've got these beautiful coconut trees there. And these people literally live in $50 huts, but they have got a million-dollar view. Man, I like going there. I just, you know, they're my favorite. And I wish I could take you there. You know, I mean, you got this big white guy there, and he walks from one side of the village. Amangabata, Asamo, come here, and he did read children. And then the children start following you, and we sing songs and preach and see them get saved and come to the, it's the greatest thing in the world. Love it. And you're on the beach, and it's just gorgeous, man. You know, it's rough being a missionary, but somebody's got to do it. So, but to get to Lawis, you have to cross over a rickety bamboo bridge over a lagoon. If you've got my prayer card tonight, on the back of that card is a picture of a bridge like the one I'm describing tonight, a little bit different, over the same part of the lagoon. And in this part of the lagoon to get to Lawis, there are these trees that grow all around. I don't know what the name of them are. And the Filipinos didn't even know what the name of the trees were. But they have roots that grow down and then they come up. And their roots are very long, and they're very sharp. They remind me of the punji sticks that the Vietnamese would use during the Vietnam War that they would put in pits for our servicemen to fall in. And the whole lagoon just totally, you know, filled with this. Well, it was a particular Saturday morning, and Matthew was now 3 years old, and Diane had just had Jenna, and Mama needed a break. Amen. How many of you ladies can relate to that? And she said, is there any way you can take Matthew with you today? I said, well, you know, he's 3 years old. About time he starts going out visiting with Dad. I said, sure. So we took him to the village of Lawis with us and our workers, and crossed over the bridge. And, you know, that bridge is not OSHA approved, by the way, okay? There's certain places you step and certain places you don't step. And so we had a service that day, wonderful, wonderful service. And Matthew and I are leaving, and we're crossing the bridge. And as we're crossing the bridge, from the opposite direction was an elderly man walking a bicycle. And as he approached us, you know, you were trained the same way as I trained. You know, if there's an elderly person coming, either help them or get out of their way. Amen? And there was nothing I could do to help him. So as he began to pass us, I just automatically, without thinking, stepped to the side. And four things happened when I stepped to the side. The first thing that happened, there was a snap. The second thing that happened, the old man's eyes went like this, and he went, oi! The third thing that happened is I fell through the bridge, and because of my girth, I got stuck. And I looked like a cartoon character with my legs flapping. And Matthew popped out of my arm into the roots and screamed, Dad! And I put my arms above my head so I could get through the bridge. I remember falling through there, and it was like a tiger had swiped my leg. I just bleeding profusely. And I thought for sure I was going to see my little boy impaled by those roots. And I'm not speaking evangelistically tonight. There were roots absolutely everywhere, but that one spot where his little backside was able to land, and the only thing that happened, he got a little scrape on his back. And I remember picking my son up and holding him to my chest and thanking God for how much he really cares for us. Now, you might think I'm nuts and you won't be the first, but I believe God told those roots, you can grow anywhere you want to, but this fat missionary is going to break this Filipino's bridge and drop his son. You can't grow there. Amen? But when we have undealt with bitterness in our hearts, we forget about how God really does care. And then we stop giving our lives for His service. Are you with me? Tonight, let me encourage you, examine yourself. And if you're holding on to something, man, just admit to it. And then put it away like it needs to be put away. Pastor, I'm through.
Yes, sir. Let's bow our heads. Tremendous message tonight. That's not a Bible study. That's a preached message. And we've been together since last night at soul winning. We have laughed a lot, reminisced, remembered a lot of things. We have not discussed the people of Faith Baptist Church. We have not discussed anybody's difficulties. Any kind. So whatever God said tonight through Brother Ferris, whatever, it came from God. It didn't come from Brother Angel. So true. So, so true. So, tonight, maybe somebody in the church just needs to decide, okay, I'm going to admit what this is. Quit calling it by a fancy moniker, nickname. Call it what it is. I'm going to put it away. Start the process of putting it away. This didn't come from somebody who has been raised on Easy Street. It was somebody who's been through what he talked about tonight. So let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please speak to our hearts. Thank you for a man being very transparent tonight and sharing with us something very, very important that he learned, and that, Lord, maybe some of us need to learn tonight. Maybe start the process of putting it away. Speak to our hearts tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the ladies are playing. This is invitation time. I hope that you'll come tonight. You obey the Lord, you do what God tells you to do. Any type of bitterness, any type of anger, any type of whatever it is that you're dealing with tonight, would you come put it away? Call it what it is. Let invitation after invitation after invitation after invitation pass. Never deal with it. Always wonder what's gone wrong, what's wrong, what's not right. Now's the time. While we wait. An outstanding Bible message for us tonight.